Addio, mia bella Napoli, addio, addio, la tua.
Ciao ragazzi and benvenuti to the 48th episode of In the Shadow of Vesuvio. My name is Henry Bell and I'm speaking to you from the west coast of Scotland. Joining me as ever is my co-host Michele Borelli, who is literally in the shadow of Vesuvio in Naples. Ciao Michele, come stai? Come Napoli oggi?
Ciao, ciao Henry, ciao everyone, ciao Napoli world. Everything is fine, everything is perfect. It's very hot. Spring has come. It's actually quite, it's pretty hot actually. I mean, not, maybe not today, it's a little bit cloudy, but last Sunday I was at the stadium and it was a midday game, and it means that the sun was the strongest ever. And usually I'm not used to it, because in Curva B, usually you're in the shadow. So if it's a normal kickoff time, almost, but yeah, you usually don't have like direct sunlight, but since it was April and it was midday, it was a very unique situation because we were in the direct sunlight for 2 hours straight and the sun was quite strong. So when I left the stadium, I was completely red, completely, like it was like purple. And everyone I met
Pomodoro.
Thought that I was, yeah, everyone I met thought that I was coming from the beach or something, because I was, yeah, completely burned. Yeah, not just on the outside, also on the inside.
You couldn't tell. You can't tell now. Maybe the sun was in Amir Rahmani's eyes, perhaps.
Maybe.
But let's, anyway, so dear listeners, we're not going to talk. This is going to, I want this to feel like a timeless episode, okay? Because we're going to be talking about the stadium and Bagnoli. It's our long-awaited Stadio special. So we're not going to be talking about the recent results of the team, any current issues with the team. We'll come back at some point soon to do that.
Wood issues.
Yeah, exactly. It's all going so well, isn't it?
Yeah, sadly.
And it's been a while, so I would like to send my profound apologies to you all, listeners. It's as you know, I work at a university, and this time of year is just very crazy. We had 10 performances, final year performances that I've had to supervise and grade. It's a lot of work, isn't it?
Apparently, you said me.
No one yet. You know what? You know when you're at school and you knew that your teacher was interested in something, and you'd be like, you'd get the teacher talking about that subject.
Yeah.
So yeah, no one yet has started the classic thing with me and Napoli. Like, no one's chosen to do like Romeo and Juliet set in Naples or whatever. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, if they were, that's like 10, 15 extra marks. You know.
Yeah, they're stupid. They're clearly not listeners. Maybe the only ones in the whole world that don't listen to this podcast. But yes, I don't like your students getting in the way of this podcast production. I don't know, how many times do I have to tell you that this podcast has to have total priority over everything else in your life, over your girlfriend, over your work, over your family, over your beloved Juventus, everything. this comes first, so I don't know. I mean, your apology means nothing to me.
Good. I mean, I keep, but you know, your face is on my phone wallpaper, so like, you stay in my thoughts.
That's deeply disturbing for you.
You should see the picture. That's even more disturbing, McKenna.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I don't think I want to know.
Yeah. Well, you sent it to me. So anyway, actually, So if you were to do Romeo and Juliet in Naples, right? Are there two, like, what are the two districts in Naples that least like each other?
District. I would say Vomero against everyone else. Because Vomero is, yeah, like Vomero is, you know, if for people who don't know what Vomero is a neighborhood in Napoli. Yeah, on the hill, one of the hills of Napoli, and it's one of the newest ones, and it's basically quite posh. So a lot of people, yeah, I mean, it's like, if you want to, I think we mentioned it before, but if you want to make fun of someone for his or her posh ways, you would say, oh, you're such a Vomerese. I say that all the time to my girlfriend. And yeah, I mean,
Nice.
she seems to think that it's a compliment for some reason, but it's, yeah, no, it's not. So I would say, yeah, Vomero against something which is not posh, which could be anything like Ponticelli. It could be Sanità. Sanità, maybe.
Okay, and
Sanità.
I think in the play, the Montagues are older money, so more established, like aristocracy. So I'd say Romeo is from Vomero, and Juliet's from. God, you got to choose one. You got to choose one.
Yeah, no.
Choose one zone. Juliet is from where?
Sanità. Sanità.
Sanità. There we go, everybody. So if students do that, I'd say 25 more marks. Anyway, so right, stadium special. I'm glad we got that off our chests. I know it's been bothering you a lot. What's number 48 in the Napoli tombola before we get cracking, Michele?
Yes, number 48 is Dead Man Talking, O Morto Che Parla.
Oh, love
Dead
it.
Man Talking, which is, yeah, a little bit of how I would describe the team right now, maybe. I
It's
don't
like every Napoli press conference, basically, at the
know.
moment.
Yes.
Mamma mia. Glorious. Right. Okay. So, welcome to the stadium special, everybody. So, many months ago, we tweeted out from our Twitter account or X account, whatever you want to call it, at Shadow of Vesuvio. We tweeted out and asked for your thoughts on the stadium. And we've got those thoughts. I've got them in front of me. So, I'm going to be sprinkling these in to our chat. But basically, what I think, well, what we talked about before we started recording is the best way to do this is to kind of tackle it chronologically. So we can really get an understanding of like what are the historic issues with the stadium, what the current situation is, and obviously get what your thoughts are, Michele, and also what my thoughts are. I did a bit, my research before this was really to do with Bagnoli, the area, which is completely different to how it was in my head before I found out about it. So I'll be chipping in. I think there's some really interesting parallels to all different sorts of things as well. So I suppose before we go chronologically, what are your feelings about the stadium in a nutshell? Are you pro new stadium or are you pro old stadium where it is? In a couple of sentences, Michele.
In a couple of sentences, I am extremely pro new stadium. I don't feel that, I do feel an emotional attachment to our current stadium, Stadio Diego Armando Maradona, also known as San Paolo, for the ones that cannot, for the life of them, change the name of the stadium in their minds, which it's fine. I understand it. I don't even call it, to be honest. It's like, I don't, for me, it's still the San Paolo, but. Yes, I do feel attachment because that's all I've known, and all, I think all living Napoli fans have only known this stadium, but I don't think there is any. So this position I've been holding for years, so maybe it sounds familiar because this is pretty much what De Laurentiis has said recently, but I've been saying it for a long time, and I felt crazy because it didn't make any sense. To think anything else, I think it's not worth it to renew the stadium. It's just too chaotic. It's in the middle of a very residential area. There are buildings right on top of the stadium almost. It doesn't make any sense. There is no, parking space. It's just too crowded. So I think I am very pro new stadium somewhere else.
Okay, that's good. Very well summarized. I usually think the same. However, I'm confusing myself. When I actually went there, I had this thought, okay, like before we get into the timeline, just to keep in the back of your head, for plastics like me, but I think also the fans that go, by moving that stadium, there's a lot of history that's gone, and that's interesting, isn't it? And I think that speaks perhaps broadly to some of the issues with the club as well, and the kind of ghost of Maradona, I suppose. And like, the first thing that I thought of when I walked up the steps, and there's an episode way back when when I respond to first being there, and the smell of the grass, and thinking, I know it's not the same grass, but it's the same concrete of the stadium when Maradona played, and that kind of connection to the past. When you're there, you feel it so strongly. And I don't know if anyone listening, we have a lot of listeners that, you know, live outside of Naples, but visit. And I think that is a strong feeling. And I don't know what the answer to that question is. Because I know logically it makes sense, we should move, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. But there was that very visceral emotion that I felt when I arrived at the stadium for the first time, which is that connection to history. So I suppose I agree with you, but I just have a little twinge of potential sadness that that history will be erased.
That makes sense to me. And that's, you know, over the years, I've been talking to a lot of people about the stadium issue. The stadium in general is one of the things I've been obsessing the most over the years. I've been obsessing about very few things when it comes to Napoli. The Scudetto, obviously, is one of them. The stadium problem issue, however you want to call it, is one of the other things I've been obsessing about. I think it's extremely important. I pay a lot of attention to stadium issues. I've been doing it for a while. I mean, that's basically the reason why I do what I do, in part, is also because I have been obsessing about the stadium for years. And, you know, one of the things I've been obsessing about is also the fact that people who talk about the stadium talk about it in a very irrational way, which is fine. You know, football fandom is irrational, must be irrational. I think by definition is irrational. You know, in Italian, they call it a fate. You know, like it's many Napoli chants too, call it a fate, una fede, one fate. So, and fate by definition is irrational, illogical. But when it comes to the stadium, it must be very logical. It's a very logical, rational problem which needs and requires very logical and rational solutions. So when they tell me, you know, and when someone tells me what you just told me, which is fine. I mean, I say the same things. You know, it's crazy to me that right now I have a season ticket in Curva B, which is the same Curva B where my father had a season ticket when Maradona led them to a Scudetto. It's crazy to me. It's absolutely insane. Of course, the stadium changed a little bit. The roof got put there in the 90s. Well, I mean, in the 1990 for the 1990 World Cup, and the seats weren't there because in the 80s there was no law for mandatory seats. So it was just, you know, this big, how do you want to call them? In Italian, they're called gradoni, you know,
terraces.
Terraces. And yeah, it's crazy. But still, you know, like I do feel, you know, as ugly as it is, I do feel, you know, the history. I like the fact that there's a lot of tradition there. However, everyone I know, all the Napoli fans I know, when they go to Spain, for example, when they're going to England and they visit, they pay to visit an English stadium or the Bernabeu or the Camp Nou, they never say, oh, you know, yeah, it's so modern, but I don't like stadiums being modern. I like what we have. No, everyone says it's an unbelievable experience. We have to have a stadium like that. There will be a dream to have a stadium like that. But then their mind cannot conceive, you know, the idea of having a new stadium with not having the San Paolo or Maradona anymore. So it's kind of funny to see because it's, you know, like the traditionalists, but, you know, they also, when they face it, when they experience it firsthand, you know, a modern stadium, they recognize that it's objectively superior.
And I think I've come up with a solution, Michele. This is a crazy solution.
Yes, tell me.
Which is linked to my background as a Shakespeare scholar. So you may know Shakespeare's theatre was known as the Globe, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what happened was that Shakespeare's company used to perform at a different theatre that was north of the River Thames, right? They owned the wood and the thatch for the actual building, but they didn't own the plot of land that it was on, right? Then they bought a plot of land south of the river. And when the landlord of the theatre was on holiday, they paid a company to dismantle the theatre, carry it over the river and put it up as the Globe. And then the landlord got back to this empty site and was like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
And there's records of a kind of lawsuit. So I think we should follow this great tradition of Shakespeare, because the two greatest sites of storytelling in the history of human culture are the Stadio San Paolo or Maradona and Shakespeare's Globe. They're the two greatest sites of culture, as
absolutely.
We establish.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think we should continue this lineage. I think we need to dismantle the Maradona, move it somewhere, and make it a bit smaller and a bit nicer, and then we can have the best of both worlds, right? That's easy, right?
The thing is, the area where the stadium is only one of the many problems regarding the stadium. There are many problems, and the area, 40 Grotta, is just one of them. The main problems with the stadium are structural. I would say probably the main problem, the biggest problem we have with the stadium, is the view. And this is something that De Laurentiis himself addressed many, many times, because he's directly affected from it. I find it very funny and ironic that for some reason, I mean, I know why there is. I mean, it's structurally, it's not that good of a stadium, but the VIP section, the authority tribune section of the stadium where the De Laurentiis and all the VIP people sit, is in the lower tier of the stadium, which is quite bad. I would say that maybe it is one of the worst seats in the whole stadium where De Laurentiis sits.
It explains a lot. I mean, if you sat there and think, let's sell Kim and not replace him.
Over the years, he said it many
maybe
times.
If he had a better seat, it would be, we'd actually have a Scudetto to defend. I mean, we would have defended the Scudetto. I'm just going to pick up on a couple of the listener points when we tweeted out a few months ago. And I think you've absolutely raised a point that a lot of people agree with. So David was saying bringing stands closer to the pitch will increase the capacity, which is an interesting thought. We've got our good friend Payman saying it makes no sense to renovate the Maradona, as a renovation will not reduce the distance of the curva to the pitch. RDN says it has to be a stadio with seating nearer the pitch. And there's some stuff about the city which we'll talk about. Stephen, who is an archaeologist, so knows about these things.
Right.
Anything that maintains the oval shape with seating miles away is painfully backward looking.
Yeah.
Scott saying, I want seats closer to the pitch so fans can get loud closer to the players. And yeah, there we go. So like a lot of comments are saying, talking about that proximity to the pitch. And that is something which you experience, you know, every other week, right? That you'll be watching what's going on. But actually, when they're attacking Curva A, it's very tough for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I have to, you know, I am constantly on the phone, especially when, you know, something big happens, like a penalty or like, you know, some controversial call, something like that. I always, you know, I get on my phone immediately and ask my friends watching on television, like, tell me what's happening, what's going on. I have no idea. A few times it happened that we had a penalty awarded to us and we had no idea in Curva B until they place the ball on the penalty spot. Like, oh wow, we actually got a penalty. So yeah, it's not that common, but it's happened before. But yeah, as our listeners said, the problem is the view. It's the view of the stadium. The main problem is not just the oval shape, which makes even the upper curva sections view quite bad, but especially the lower sections have a very bad view, unfortunately, and the lower sections are almost half the stadium. So it's right now we have I think about 52,000 seats overall, and I would say 40% of these seats are just bad. You know, like it's really I don't really recommend them. Luckily now they made them cheaper, because until a few years ago, they were priced the same, upper and lower. Now they're cheaper, so people are at least in some way incentivized to get those seats. But generally speaking, the view from the lower section is quite bad. I think the calculation I made was that if you sit in the lower curva, you are about 30 to 40 meters away from the nearest goal, and you are at the pitch level. So, I mean... Yeah, it's not ideal. Even though, like, even in Curva B Superiore, I sit in the upper section, but I sit in the first row. I mean, I don't sit, but I watch games in the first row in Curva B. So I don't have a lot of angle to watch the pitch, and yeah, that's why it's
And
quite.
you don't have to be Caravaggio to understand that that sort of perspective in a kind of artistic sense is not great. Although there are three Caravaggio, right, in Naples that you can go and see. Anyway, that's a different podcast. So okay, some good general thoughts there, but so let's fill us in a bit on the old timeline here, Michele. So there's been various noises that various owners have made, not just ADL, about a new stadium or renovating the existing stadium. And obviously, another important factor is the relationship between the club and the city, the owners and the mayor. And I think probably all of these things are going to come up over the next little period of time. So, where's a good place to start on all this then?
It depends. It depends on how much you want to know and how much you don't know about the stadium. I would say that maybe we can start about the general idea of the stadium, how it was conceived, and why it's not a good stadium for modern standards. So, one of the things people tell me a lot when they come here is that they get surprised in general in Italy by the fact that stadiums have a running track around them. So this stadium was built around the 50s, 1950. And back then, it was like if you wanted to build a stadium, I mean, even now it's quite expensive, but the National Olympic Association gave you money if you made the stadium an Olympic stadium. And to make an Olympic stadium, obviously, you have to have the running track. The San Paolo, the Maradona, doesn't just have the running track, it has all the all their areas for the long jump, the triple jump, stuff like that. So everything regarding Olympic sports. And
So
that's
it's
why.
designed for track and field, really,
Yeah,
like
exactly.
athletics.
Exactly. Exactly.
Interesting. And that's a funding thing. It was a way to pay the money in the 50s.
Yes, so the Olympic Association contributed to the overall cost of the building of the stadiums in Italy, if they made the stadium, if the project was Olympic friendly in a way. So that's why you see stadiums like, the San Paolo, the Olimpico, even the Delle Alpi, the old Delle Alpi in Turin, which was demolished almost immediately. Like, this is not just an old thing, even newer stadium, let's say, had this issue.
And it isn't
In
also completely connected to it shows you how much money it cost to build a stadium. Because back in
yeah.
the 50s, right, Napoli was rich as a club, right? Because didn't we break the world transfer record? I think in the 50s,
I don't
Napoli have
remember if it was
broken
in the
in.
50s or in the 70s. It's a bit out of my scope, but yes, I don't think it was a poor
What I will
job.
say to everybody listening is Kirsten Schlutz's book on The History of Naples in the English language is now out. So do look that up, Kirsten, member of the Far From Vesuvius Network. But yes, I think, but the parallel between the modern time is a club having to rely on public money to build a stadium isn't just there if you're a poor club, if that makes sense. It's always been very expensive and very complex. So that's really interesting that even back in the 1950s, when I'll check it in a sec, when we were a rich club without success, the club still decided to build it in order to get that funding.
No, wait a second. It wasn't the club building the stadiums, it was the cities.
Right.
That's why it's still now the San Paolo, the Maradona is owned by the city. Even the San Nicola in Bari is a very big stadium built for the, if I remember correctly, was
The
precisely built for
1990 World
the,
Cup.
exactly. So it was built by Renzo Piano. So the project, the architect was Renzo Piano, which is one of the most famous architects in the world. But if you look at that, even an enlightened architect like Renzo Piano couldn't avoid building a running track around the pitch, and that's why. So yeah, this is why the stadiums are owned by the cities in Rome, in Milan. No, even like, well, I mean, it's faster to list the stadiums which are not owned by the cities, just like I think
So,
Sassuolo, Frosinone, Juventus, and maybe Udine. I think it's like a bit of a hybrid.
Udine.
Yeah, but even the San Siro, Inter and Milan, one of the two richest clubs in Italy, they don't own their own stadiums. Things are changing fast, but that's as things stand, that's how it is.
So it was
So
built. It was so just for context, I've just looked it up. We broke the world transfer record in 1952 to sign Hans Jeppsson, who I
wow.
believe was Swedish, maybe Danish, from Atalanta. So yes.
If you want to go even to older times, Napoli, I think, was one of the first, if not the first club with a stadium, with an own stadium. Napoli actually had their own stadium, which belonged to the club in the 20s. I don't want to be wrong, 20s, like 30s, something like that. I recently looked it up because I knew this anecdote, but I didn't know where it was. So I went and looked it up, and it was quite beautiful. But unfortunately, in World War II, it got bombarded and yeah, it disappeared. But
So was the stadium, I mean, you might not know this, but so the Olympics was in Rome in 1960. So was the building of the stadium connected to that, maybe? Because they sometimes use stadiums outside of cities, don't they? Maybe it was, I don't know.
I am not 100% sure. I don't know. I don't remember reading about that. I don't know. I don't think so, though.
Anyway, also the shape of the stadium was built not for football. It was built by the municipality. It was publicly funded, right? Cool. So that's
Exactly.
why when we sit in there and we can't really see what's going on, we tend to enjoy singing and being together in a variety of ways, perhaps more than very close tactical analysis of exactly what's going on the pitch, right?
Sadly, so yes, this is why unfortunately the stadium is as a running track. This is why a lot of stadiums in Italy have a running track. So this is probably one of the main problems about the stadium. It changed a little bit in the in the 90 1990 they renewed the stadium, I think probably for the first time in a big way, because they had to adapt the stadium to international standards. So until 1990, there was no roof and there were no seats. So
Crazy.
it was, yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. If you look up the pictures, the first Scudetto, it was basically like that, no roof. It's quite beautiful. Like if you, like next time you
I
go,
love that footage. I absolutely love
yeah.
it. And also the quarter final second leg in the UEFA Cup against Juventus, in 1989. I would recommend everybody look up the highlights and just listen to the highlights and the noise. When Alessandro Rennica scores the last minute goal of extra time is the loudest thing I think I've ever heard. It's absolutely incredible atmosphere. Beautiful times. So presumably that was for the World Cup too, right? They had to get it up to scratch.
Yeah, absolutely. But next time you come to Napoli, I would say do this. When you look at the stadium, try to imagine it without the roof, and you will get an idea of what the stadium looked like before. It seems stupid to do it. It's simple, but people don't think about it. Even people now, like I've never seen the stadium. I was born after 1990, so I've never seen the stadium without the roof. And the roof actually composes the majority of the height of the stadium, because the pitch is below, street level. So the stadium without the roof looks quite small, right? It's because it's below street level. And a lot of people say that the stadium is quite ugly from the outside. I don't really see it, but I can understand it. But I think it's if you try to look at the stadium, if you try to eliminate visually all the metal, the iron beams and columns and roof from the picture, from your view, I think you could see the stadium from like in the way that it was in the 80s, in the 70s, and before, and it's quite beautiful. I think that it was probably quite a beautiful stadium before. Now with the
That's
roof,
really
it's
interesting. I
yeah,
never put
it's
one and one together there. I think, and I know a lot of our listeners have parents and grandparents and family who are from Naples and went to the games back then. So I would encourage you to ask your dear and your closest people who have been there back then to paint a picture of you what it was like. And obviously, you can look at a lot of the footage. I think the footage of the last game of the first Scudetto season against Fiorentina, which also features a beautiful Roberto Baggio free kick, so it's worth it for that as well, has a lot of helicopter shots because I think they're obviously expecting the Scudetto to arrive. So you get to see quite a lot of the old stadium design in that footage. In fact, you know what? I'll just whack a link in the podcast tweet that we do for, at Shadow of Vesuvio. Okay, that's painted, I think, a really clear picture to me about the kind of history, the genealogy of the stadium.
Yes.
So this what is
the
have been
pre De Laurentiis era? Basically.
Yeah. So what have been the options on the table then for what to do about this structure now?
So, as I said, I've been obsessing about the stadium for years, but obviously I'm not 70 years old, so I can't remember. I don't know everything that's happened so far.
Of course.
So I did look some things up for this episode, and I found it very interesting that there's been talks about demolishing or at least adapting or renewing or a new stadium in general in Napoli since the 90s. So even though the stadium was, I mean, I don't want to say completely renewed, but it was massively renewed in the, for the 1990 World Cup, Ferlaino, which was the president at the time, said that, I think in 1998, there's an interview of Ferlaino saying that the San Paolo is not fit for Napoli, for the club. They needed a new stadium. And Ferlaino, back in the day, in the 1998, said, even though we renewed the stadium, it's not fit, it's not good enough for the club, and we need to demolish it and build something else, somewhere else. And I found it very interesting. I had no idea about it.
And he's, so everyone listening, the name doesn't ring a bell. He was the owner that brought Maradona in, an absolutely legendary figure, loved and loathed by the people of Naples for a variety of reasons. Very eccentric man. You can see him in all the Scudetto celebrations as well. So yeah, do look him up. Really important figure in the history of the club, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's been Napoli's president for, I think, 20 years, something like that, a long time. So, yeah, so it's like he was also planning on building a new stadium, or at least, you know, talking about the new stadium is easy. Making a new one is hard, but at least there was a clear need of a new stadium. People knew that the San Paolo at the time wasn't good enough for the club. So we've been talking about this for 30 years now, and it's crazy, especially if you think about how much money they poured to renew the stadium for the World Cup. It wasn't really a new thought at the time because, as I said, they built the Le Alpi completely from scratch, and they demolished it just a few years, like 10 years later, something like that. Yeah. So, yeah, it's quite crazy. But yes, there was a need for a new stadium, and there were a lot of talks. You know, I've looked it up. There were so much, you know, like at the end, I didn't write anything down because at the end of the day, there was nothing concrete, nothing real. I've read some rumors. Oh, yeah, the owners of the chain Hotel Marriott will buy a stake in Napoli and they will help us build a new stadium. This was back in 2003 or 2. And yeah, there were talks about, you know, from city councilors to build the stadium in this neighborhood or in that neighborhood, super big stadium, super small. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter because it's been just words.
It's just lawyers. It's just money to lawyers and journalists.
The
and
main takeaway, I think, is that everyone knew, and it's been known, it's been an issue for years now, that this stadium is not good enough. It's not fit and it's not modern. And there is a clear need for a new stadium, which is where De Laurentiis comes in.
Okay. Now, I want to pick up. Well, tell me to shut up, actually, if you'd rather just carry on, because I think my first thought hearing you say that is this also highlights the challenges of the administration of building a new stadium. And I think there are a lot of stereotypes about Italy and bureaucracy. And there are a lot of stereotypes about Italy and corruption. And there are also those stereotypes about Naples. How much of that is based on reality? Is it particularly a unique challenge in Naples to get a stadium built, or do you think this is more of a national issue?
I think both ways. It goes both ways. It's particularly difficult to build it in Napoli for a very simple reason. There is no money. So Napoli has like a massive debt. It's not Napoli in general, it's not a rich city, but there's a massive debt in for like the city of Napoli. I think it's like 2 or 3 billion euros. And when a city has this much debt, it's crazy to think about spending hundreds of millions of euros to build a new stadium, especially because it's a stadium that essentially would be used just by one private company, which is the team, the club. It's, you know, like everywhere, like in the city, we chant, "We are Napoli," when it comes like that, the city and the club. But the truth is that it's a private company that belongs to a private citizen, which is De Laurentiis. So it's hard to justify spending so much money in Napoli for a stadium for the club when, first of all, we have a stadium, which is not good enough, but you know, it's functional, it works. And second of all, there is no money at all. So
Okay.
this is the a specific issue that affects Napoli. Secondly, there are, you know, nationwide issues when it comes to building new stadiums. Anecdotally, I can tell you that, for example, I remember when they were talking about building a new stadium in Bologna, there was an issue with demolishing the tower. So if you know how Bologna Stadium is, there is a tower in the middle of the Distinti section, and you know, for some reason, they decided, you know, some like governative association that takes care of the, you know, the historical buildings and historical importance of areas, buildings, they decided to give officially recognized historical importance to that tower. That means that it gained a protected status, which means that it cannot be demolished.
Listed, like we'd say, a listed building. That's what we'd say
There
in
you
the
go.
UK. And it is
There you go.
beautiful. And a lot of people I know that go to Bologna, I mean, again, it's for the tourists rather than the actual everyday fans. So yeah, there
No,
we go.
but the problem is that it is beautiful in theory. The concept of protecting buildings because of artistic or historical cultural importance is beautiful. But in Italy, it takes an extreme, you know, level. It makes no sense. So I don't think Napoli, the San Paolo, has this problem because it's, I mean,
And I think just to balance this
just look at
out
it.
as well, actually, Phil Turner, friend of the show,
Ciao,
said that
Phil.
in Charfield, in the US, these projects have a terrible track record, almost always over budget, late, and deliver less than promised. So I think for all the stereotypes of sort of Italian bureaucracy and corruption and all that kind of stuff, I think sometimes I see the discourse about this outside of Naples, and it does make me feel a bit uncomfortable because it sort of projects this idea that these are issues unique to Italy and unique to Naples. Whereas I think, I mean, there's all sorts of examples in the United Kingdom of really dodgy deals being struck in terms of getting planning permission and councillors having money invested in public projects. And it's, you know, it's not just, you know, specific to these areas, although there are substantial challenges. I think also because of the nature of local politics as well, that mayors change, different political parties have influence. If you think since 1998, Michele, like how many different mayors have there been of Naples? How many different political parties have been in the majority in terms of those local governance? I mean, quite a lot, presumably.
But they all have to face the same issues, which is there is no money. So
Great.
you can promise, but if there is no money, it's very hard to build a new stadium. There was one mayor in 2012. His name was De Magistris. And when he got elected, he one of his electoral promises were, I'm going to build a new stadium in Napoli before I leave office. And to be fair, when he, I mean, there have been some problems with this when it comes to, you know, like investigations, corruption. Nothing has been proved, but still, when he came into office, he actually came with a project. So there was a project to build a new stadium in 2012 in Napoli East. So Fuorigrotta, where the current stadium is in the west side of Naples, northwest, I would say. And this new project was in the east side of Naples. The problem with the new stadium, and this applies to this project, but it applies to the whole issue of building a new stadium, is that Napoli is a very crowded city. It's not a big city. There are no big spaces available. So when you think about building a new stadium, it's very, very, very hard to find a
And a
suitable
very
area.
historic city as well. I mean, there's all sorts of, if you think of the historic center, you know, obviously, I mean, Pompeii is relatively far away, but it's indicative of the amount of history that's there. Anyone that's been to Rome will understand how slow it is to for them to develop their metro, for example, because the moment they start to build, they stumble upon really significant Roman remains. So yeah, exactly. That's also quite challenging as well. Okay, so how does ADL fit into this picture? So he turns up in, when was it, 2004? Was it ADL turns up?
2004. But like he immediately started talking about the stadium, but it was nothing real until the 2012, 2013. So when he got offered, I mean, it wasn't offered, but when the idea got proposed to him of building this new stadium in Napoli East, he rejected it. He said he didn't like the project. So this project was for a big stadium and it was financed by private investors. So the
Okay.
city wouldn't pay for it. Napoli wouldn't pay for it. I remember very well this era. I remember very well this project. They never developed a real project. There wasn't any rendering. It was just they found the area and they had general idea about the size of the stadium, which I think was 71 thousand people,
Wow,
thousand seats.
big. That's a big capacity.
Big capacity, but that mayor was obsessed about building a new stadium, a big stadium. So yeah, I mean, it was nice. I remember at the time, I was very happy to hear that number. I thought that big stadium equal big team, so I really liked that. But I was younger back then.
And
Yeah,
you were
then
we were riding the wave of Cavani and Lavezzi and Hamsik and
exactly,
silverware arriving after this phoenix-like rise from Serie C, etc.,
So yeah,
etc.
well, De Laurentiis rejected it. He didn't like the idea. He didn't like that he would still play in a stadium which wasn't owned by him, by the club. So he rejected it, and that was it. Nothing else happened for a few years, and then after a while, De Laurentiis came and said, "I have a project to renew the San Paolo." This was in 2015. He came and said, "Look, I got in touch. I reached out to the Juventus Stadium's architect, which is whose name is Gino Zavanella." And he said, because at the time, you know, the Juventus Stadium was quite new and everyone was obsessing about it in Italy. It was like, oh, finally in Italy we have a stadium, a modern stadium, which is
And
relatively
they linked
cheap.
it to that run of that great run that they went on. They won all those Scudetti and they went to the European Cup final and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, even in the English speaking press, it was a lot of like, this is indicative of a more modern approach. This is exactly what needs to happen with all Italian clubs because they can retain. In fact, it was very similar to Shakespeare's company because the reason they moved the theatre is that they could own both the theatre and the land. And that's how they became very successful. So you meant you're keeping all the receipts, everything comes back to you as a club. Yeah, I remember. I'd forgotten that ADL was talking to. So I bet that went down well with the fans of Napoli. ADL was publicly flirting with Juve. But then I suppose who cares if it means that you're actually gonna get some money in and get some success back.
Yeah, I mean, the architect wasn't a Juve fan. It was just the architect which made, or at least, made the project for the Juve Stadium. And the thing is that that stadium was so popular. The idea of the Juventus Stadium, how much money it generated, how much, victories on the field it generated, and how
Was
revolutionary it
smaller,
was.
had a better
Exactly.
atmosphere, you were
That's
closer to the pitch.
exactly my point. If you now we mentioned the running track around the stadium, Juventus came and said, "You know what? We're gonna build a new stadium with no running track for relatively cheap, because I think that if I remember correctly, they spent around 110 million euros, which is cheap for a new stadium. And yeah, we're gonna make a lot of money with it." And it's true, it happened. They started winning a lot of games. I think it is connected, maybe n like not 100%, but I do think it had a huge influence on the team, on the sports, side of things. They started making a lot of money, and in general, it influenced the stadium discourse in Italy for years, for years. So De Laurentiis, 3 years in 2015, 3 years after rejecting the stadium idea from the mayor, said, "Yeah, I made a project with the Juventus stadium architect. The idea is for a stadium with 41,000 seats, same size as the Juventus Stadium, you see.
Yep.
And what I found extremely funny at the time, I was younger, but I found it extremely funny that he said, and this project will have a cost of 22 million. I was like, wait, what? Wait, what?
What's it going to be made out of? Like plasticine?
Cardboard or something. And yeah, they were so all in on this idea that they even published the rendering. So we actually have, like, maybe we're gonna tweet them. I did tweet them a few months ago, but yeah, you can see this project. You can see how ugly. Okay, this is my personal opinion now. This project is one of the ugliest things I've ever seen in my entire life, in general. And it's
And you
so
have to look at
bad.
me, you know.
Every time we record an episode, I have to look at your face. But this stadium is worse than it. It's just like it solved
Incredible.
no problems, absolutely whatsoever, no problem at all.
But
It
where was
kept.
this going to be? Where do they want to build the stadium?
No, this is not a new stadium. This is a renovation of the San Paolo.
In Fuorigrotta, that's where they wanted to do this.
No, they would take the stadium that we still have now, they
And
would
just,
just, yeah, renew it. So the
okay.
idea was, you're going to see the pictures, we're going to tweet them, but the idea was that they would just basically delete the lower levels of the curva. They would take the lower level of the distinti, which is the long side, basically where the Napoli, word is written on the seats, and the lower level, they would take it and put it closer to the pitch, I think with a probably like a movable structure, I don't know. They would do almost the same thing on the other side. So on the tribuna, there would be a lot of sky boxes and stuff like that. The problem is that the whole upper level of the stadium would remain the same. They would maybe change the seats and they would make a new roof and stuff like that. But the whole upper level would remain at the same distance
For
from the
22
pitch.
million euros.
No, but I find it so funny because
Is this going to be built by ADL's family? You know,
I don't know.
what?
Like, he never elaborated on, I don't know. Honestly, that's the number he mentioned. I don't know. I have no idea how. I mean, that's what he mentioned. This is just, these are the facts. I don't know if it was actually true, but that's what he said. So this was a political move from De Laurentiis because he would have to have the authorization from the city to renew the stadium. So it's not like the city said, oh, yes, give us a project and I mean,
Right.
just go for it. No, he was pushing the city to give him the stadium, and to do that, he was presenting a project. So I
So
want to cover
yeah.
something very important now
So
because it's
give me the stadium and I will invest this amount of
yes.
money in
So
renovating it.
let me
Okay, so
cover
there is actually
something.
there's something in it for the city, I suppose, just about, but it's complex.
Yes, that's what I want to talk about because one of the main things every time we discuss about the stadium, every time I see discussions on the stadium between Napoli fans, especially even here in Napoli, to be honest, not just for Napoli fans, I read always the same thing, which is people complaining to the city about the stadium, people saying to the city, to the mayor, city councilor, just give the stadium to the club already. You are broke, you have no money, just give it to the club. I want to settle this once and for all. So this is illegal. What people are suggesting is illegal. This has been addressed by the previous mayor, the one that made that project in 2012, and it's been addressed by the new mayor, which took
What's
office
the name of the new man?
Manfredi.
Manfred.
He's a Juve loving mayor, but that's beyond the point.
We've mentioned this a few times on the
Yeah,
podcast. Yeah, the
exactly.
Juve
But still,
supporting mayor of
like, this is a
Napoli.
guy who cares about the rules, the laws. So every time De Laurentiis says, just give me the stadium, I will do one of the best, like, literally his words, I will make one of the best stadiums in the whole world. Just give me the stadium, I'll take care of it. What he's suggesting is illegal. It is illegal because the cities, like, the stadium belongs to the city. The city is in financial trouble. The city cannot just give away a massive asset like the
I mean, even if it
stadium.
wasn't in financial trouble, like no local authority in Naples, in Scotland, in Texas, wherever you are in the world, is going to do that.
Exactly. But, like, what would happen if the city gave the stadium to De Laurentiis is that a day later, the basically the central government accountants, let's say that, but it's a bit more complicated. But anyway, like a third party belonging to the central government authority, which takes care of the financial problems of the cities and, you know, the administration, public administration. They would come and just cancel the deal immediately because they would say, you cannot give away an entire stadium for free to a private,
Hello.
to a private company. Why? Right? I mean, it's like, if you think about it, like,
And you're opening yourself up to massive corruption if
exactly.
people,
Yeah,
you
they
can't
could
just
just
like,
do that, right? Just think about it. Like Napoli, like people think that Napoli, the club, you know, the SSC Napoli is different from, I don't know, any other company just because it's a football team and you know, like we care about it and we support, but it's not true. You know, like legally speaking, SSC Napoli, it's basically like a supermarket, you know, like it's a for-profit company which belongs to the shareholders. In this case, just Aurelio De Laurentiis with the Filmauro company. And you cannot just give away something that belongs to the city, so to everyone, to a private company. For what? For promises, right? So there is a way to do this. So there is a way for the city to give away the stadium for free to a private entity, but this private entity which wants the stadium needs to prove that they're gonna invest so much money in it that basically the public, the city, will get something back from giving it away. So in a few words, simply put, the mayor says, I will give you the stadium for free if you give me a good enough project which will be positive, an overall, a net positive for the public, you know, for the city, for the
So
citizen, for
an
everyone else.
evidence-based business plan that has a breakdown of how all the different benefits to the city, how much it's going to bring in, not just financially, presumably, but also in terms of the kind of, sense of citizenship and involvement and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yes, so this is a bit subjective, obviously, because there is no precise number, but we can say that 22 millions is not good enough.
No.
Clearly, it's not good enough. In 2018, they renewed the stadium, and it looks like we know it now, no? So if you remember a few years ago, before 2018, the seats were, well, I mean, they were supposed to be red, but they were pink because they were very
Yeah,
old.
they were
They
pink.
were,
They were,
yeah,
yeah,
they were the
on
same
TV.
seats that they installed for the 1990s World Cup, along with the roof. And now it looks like this. So this was because of the 2018 renovation. And a lot of people think that this renovation was paid by the club. But no, that's not true.
No,
This
it was for the
renovation,
youth. It was the youth games, wasn't it, that came to
exactly.
Naples? Yeah.
Exactly. And in theory, I mean, in origin, this was supposed to be paid by the city. But as I just said, the city, it was so funny to me that the mayor, so this was not the current mayor, the previous mayor said, yeah, we're gonna host the youth games. We're gonna renew the stadium with our own money. It's gonna be an amazing event. Then they realized that they had no money for it for some reason. Like
Because they're
nothing.
2 billion euros in debt as a
Exactly. Not
city, yeah.
literally nothing changed. And they were like, oh, you know what? We actually don't have money to renew the stadium. But now we won the bid for the youth game. So what are we gonna do? Thankfully, the region, which is a completely separate government from the city and from the central government in Rome, the region came to help. So they said, you know what? No, you are stupid because you won the bid promising a renovation that you cannot afford. We'll come and
So,
we
like
will pay for it.
Campania region sort of thing.
The
Yeah.
Campania region, yes, with the governor
Okay.
De Luca came in
Ah,
and
De Luca, he
said,
was very famous in the COVID pandemic. He was all
exactly,
over the TV.
yeah,
Yeah,
the
yeah.
fire, yeah, the flamethrower
Yeah,
governor.
yeah.
Yes. So he
Okay,
came and
so
said,
yeah.
we're gonna pay for it, and they paid about 25 million to renew,
And that's
you
how
know,
we got
the
the blue running track and the blue seats and all that. Yeah.
exactly, yeah, and a few
So
more things, but yeah, mostly that, the new dressing rooms and stuff like that.
Yeah. So tell us, Michele, about Bagnoli. So this is the latest proposal that was it probably about 4, 5, 6 weeks ago now. And let's get some thinking on this. And you're rather cynical as to whether or not this is going to happen.
Yes, Bagnoli. This is where Bagnoli comes in. And I have to preface it by saying that for years now, for years, I've been telling everyone I know we have to build a new stadium in Bagnoli. This is a no-brainer for me. And for very simple reason, because as I said, there is no space in Napoli to build a new stadium. There is some space in Napoli East, but not too much. And I say it against my own interest, because I do live very close to the east side of Napoli. So it would take me literally 5 minutes by scooter if they build a new stadium in the eastern side of Napoli. But no.
In the shadow of Vesuvio. More.
In the shadow of Vesuvio. But no, they're not going to do that. I think for good reasons, because Napoli East is not a very nice area. This is one of the reasons why they wanted to build the stadium there. Not just because there was space, but also because they wanted to, you know, increase, you know, improve the quality of the whole neighborhood, let's say. But yeah, other than Napoli East and some areas in Napoli North, Bagnoli is, in my opinion, a no-brainer. But there is a big but. The problem with Bagnoli is that right now it's not ready for new buildings, for new projects. And it's not been ready for years, for 30 years. Well, for longer than that. But Bagnoli has been
incredible.
Empty.
This is incredible, yeah. Kelly. So in my research, in my head, Bagnoli, because I've never been, I've just seen it. It's not so far away from the existing stadium.
Yeah. And it's right on the south side of Furigrotta, just to give people an idea what it is. It's on the,
and it's by
still
the sea,
on the west side, but yes, on
it's
the
by the sea, there's a beach. And in my head, it was this very, you know, potentially rather nice place. But I looked it up and it's like, it's contaminated and poisoned, and it's been like exploited industrially for like 100 years or whatever. I mean, it's just like, you get it a lot in the north of England. I used to live in Sheffield. All the rivers, there are 5 rivers in Sheffield, they're all poisoned, and all those rivers died because of the steelworks. And gradually this is recovering. And now in like 2024, we're just beginning to see fish back in these sea, in these rivers, because of this kind of level of industrial contamination. Seems that's a bit of a parallel with Bagnoli, because it's almost quite scary what's going on there. So tell us the situation.
Yeah, so Bagnoli is a very big area on the west side of Naples. It's south to the stadium, to the Fuorigrotta area. So it's between the stadium, the Fuorigrotta, and the sea, basically, and the beach. And the problem with Bagnoli is that it's very polluted. It is very polluted because for many, many years there, I think for like 80 years, more or less, there was a very, very big steel plant in Bagnoli, a massive steel plant which was built in 1910 and was dismantled in 1994, more or less. And it was dismantled because they realized that it was very polluting and a lot of people were dying of cancer in that area. Mm. And, you know, since then, they've dismantled all the, you know, the actual plant, the facilities, everything else. If you look it up on Google Maps, it's just a very empty area with a couple of, you know, the skeletons of the plants, of the existing plants there. That's the only things that remain. I think they will remain there as a, how to say, just like a link to the past, you could say.
Yes, a memorial of the steel.
Yes.
The steel, which is very important, wasn't it, to the economy and all that kind of stuff. But
It was extremely important. Funny fact is that Maurizio Sarri was born in Napoli because his father used to work for the steel plant in Bagnoli. That's what he used to say all the time. Yeah, I was born in Napoli. My father.
And on top of all that pollution, Sarri's also smoking 40 a day.
I mean, and
how is this man still alive?
Exactly. But yeah, so the problem with that area is that the ground is polluted with heavy chemicals, you know, metals and stuff like that. You know, 80 years of steel plant works have left their trace on the beach, in the sea, and on the ground there. So the problem with Bagnoli is that even though they've dismantled all the structures, you know, of the plant, the ground is still polluted, and they've been trying to clean it for years now. This is, if you look it up, if you look the story of Bagnoli up, this is basically what's wrong with Italy in general. They've poured so much money, like hundreds of millions of euros, into Bagnoli, into the, you know, the cleaning of the area, Bagnoli, the sea, the beach, and the ground, especially the ground, the area in Bagnoli. hundreds of, literally hundreds of millions for nothing. There's nothing to show for it. So, I mean, I'm not an expert about this because there are like very big entire books about, you know, the Bagnoli fiasco. But the idea is that basically they create a new company which will take care of the cleaning of the Bagnoli. They hire hundreds of people. They put a lot of money in it. Then the company, without doing anything, goes bankrupt. And then a new company gets created. And, you know, right. This is the cycle. This is the cycle.
So why is ADL so confident that he can fix something in a few years that's taken decades for nothing to happen?
This is a million-dollar idea, because the thing about Bagnoli is that they've been saying, like, if you're Napolitan, you've been hearing, oh, yes, Bagnoli is 5 years away from being clean and being livable for citizens. They've been 5 years away from this goal for years now. So it's basically a running joke that Bagnoli will never be ready because it's always 5 years away. But these 5 years never end. For some reason, the scientist seems to think that these 5 years are actually 5 years, actually going to be 5 years. It is true that they are right now working on it. I saw it with my own eyes. There are some people working there. They are massively, but it takes a long time. It's going to take many, many years, a lot more money, because again, the money they put in it has run out. So they have to ask for more money. There have been some recent changes on it. I don't want to go too deep in it, but the gist of it is that the new government, the new central government, has a very precise timeline when it comes to Bagnoli. And a small area of Bagnoli should get cleaned in 2 years, 2 or 3 years.
Right.
This is an area that is not originally destined for buildings. So this was supposed to be an area for a public park. And yeah, so it is weird, because so what's happening now is basically this. De Laurentiis is saying these things, and he's saying, yes, I can say this with very confidently, because I've talked to the central government and they told me that I can do this. The mayor, which is in charge of Bagnoli, the Bagnoli cleaning, which is it's not been a mayor, the Napoli's mayor responsibility, but now it is. So they gave him the powers to
Manfredi.
Manfredi, yes. He said, actually, it's not true. I don't know why he's saying that. This guy is very neutral when it comes to these things. Maybe if it sounds a little bit more verbally violent in my words, it's because of my own depiction of
right.
it.
Okay,
it's my own it. Paraphrasing of what
you're
I'm
an unreliable
hearing.
Narrator. That's fine.
Exactly. But the mayor has basically said the timeline is not this. The timeline is quite longer. It is true that some areas will be ready or clean in 2 years, but these are not for the stadium. De Laurentiis seems to think that he can convince the central government to change the objective. I don't know how to say it. The objective of the area. So once that area is clean, it's no longer going to be for
the
public
kind of
park.
Designation. So he can say, yeah, look, this isn't going to be a park. It's going to be a football stadium.
Exactly. So his idea is, this is not going to be for the park anymore. This is going to be for the stadium. And maybe when you start cleaning and you finish cleaning the other areas, you can then switch and build the park there instead of the stadium there.
Does this also include the training facilities and stuff like that?
In his mind, yes. In his mind, yes. But
this, Michele, sounds crazy to me.
It is crazy. It is crazy. Especially
it's interesting
because
it's so, yeah.
No, but De Laurentiis has been talking about Bagnoli since 2017. So there was a very famous tweet in 2017 by De Laurentiis. It's like, if you look it up, it's so funny to me. I don't know why, but there is De Laurentiis depicted from the back overlooking the Bagnoli area with a very simple caption saying, this might be the new house, the new home of SSC Napoli. And it didn't mean it like in 10 or 15 years. He meant it like in 2 or 3 years, in 2017. And you can imagine, I've been talking about Bagnoli for years now. And when I read that tweet, I was crazy. I went crazy. I was like, oh, wow, it's actually happening. I cannot believe it. Finally, it's happening.
So this could just get kicked around for you. I mean, I think, yeah. So I think, okay, so let's start to wrap things up then. So what are your sort of conclusions about this stadium situation? So do you think it's just going to be this constant conversation that people have and will be in the Maradona in 20 years for our 49th episode?
I think we need to mention something very important, which is De Laurentiis changed his mind about the stadium very recently. Because for years, as I told you, he wanted to renew the San Paolo. He brought new projects. He was pushing very, very hard and very rudely the city council, the mayors, to give him the San Paolo for him to renew. And he was very rude about it. It was like, if you don't give me the stadium, you are traitors of these Napolitan citizens. He was basically trying to put the people of Napoli against the mayor for his own profits, let's say. That's the way, at least that's the way I see it. And I really didn't like that, because we are citizens of Napoli first and then fans of Napoli second.
So, and a lot of the planning is also illegal and is impossible by exactly, what you said exactly. earlier. So, yeah.
But I found it very interesting that for years he was like, give me the stadium, otherwise you are traitors. I need the stadium. I will renew it in 1 year and I will make it the best team in the world. And now, just now, like at the beginning of 2024, he came out and said, you know what? This stadium is unrenewable. The structure of the stadium doesn't allow for a complete renewal. He mentioned the architect again. I brought Zavanella, which is the architect of the first project on the Juve project and the previous project he made. He said, I brought, again, this is so, like, I feel like I'm going crazy when I hear these things, because he said, I brought Zavanella to the Maradona and he told me that it would be impossible to renew it, because to renew it properly, we would have to build a stadium inside the stadium, because the sections, you know, the stands are so far away from the pitch that you cannot get them closer. You have to build new stands. Yeah. From scratch, from zero.
So you might as well just build a new stadium.
Exactly.
Basically.
And it's not possible to do that while, you know, do that and still play inside. So it would be a massive financial loss for the club. So my question here is, so why did you keep going for years, for a decade, about building a new stadium? So you're telling me that the same architect which actually made a project for the renewal of the San Paolo now is saying that their renewal was impossible? What's going on here? But it doesn't matter. He changed his mind. He now finally realized what I've been saying for years, and what a lot of people have been saying for years, that a renewal of the Maradona is not feasible from a financial point of view, from a conceptual point of view, from a functional point of view. There is absolutely no way to renew our current stadium and make it a modern stadium, a new, like a proper stadium, let's say. So the only way, so De Laurentiis now is absolutely convinced that the only way for Napoli, for the club, to go forward is to build a new stadium. This is why now he's starting to talk about Bagnoli, he's starting to talk about other areas around Napoli.
So this is a big change. So I should say we're not renovating where we are.
This is
we're going
key
to a new
moment.
Stadium.
Yes.
And it sounds like Bagnoli is a bit of a pie in the sky. In terms of space, it's probably the best place, but the environmental conditions mean it's not. And there's some other options on the table. Right.
Yes.
I see. Michele, yeah, I owe you. Yeah. So I actually get it now. I hope listeners listening, you get it too. I also quite enjoyed our little tour of Naples. We went east and we went west and we went south. And we got a bit of history in there. I'm going to wrap this up because we're going to be way over what people can actually listen to, I think. But I'm actually going to watch this very closely now. So maybe, and we'll obviously come back to it.
Yes, this is everything in progress. So there is nothing decided yet.
But it seems like ADL's moving rather than renovating.
I think that, again, this is not, I mean, this is De Laurentiis' idea, but the city doesn't really want that. The city still wants to renew the stadium, especially because there's going to be Euros in the 2032 in Italy, and Napoli currently doesn't qualify for it. So they have to still they still have to decide which stadiums will host in Italy the Euros 2032. Yeah. I think the only sure stadiums are currently Rome, so the Stadio Olimpico, San Siro, and Juventus Stadium. All the others are still to be determined, and you know, in order to qualify for it, the city says that they're gonna renew the stadium. I don't know how. I don't know with what money. I have no clue. I have no idea.
And imagine the embarrassment of Naples not being involved in that tournament.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
The World Cup in 1990, my first footballing memory. You know, the drama that happened in Naples. Mamma mia, it's beautiful. Yeah.
But if you ask me, I would rather not have the Euros in Napoli than pouring even more money into the San Paolo, into the Maradona, and maybe staying with this stadium for another 20 years. It doesn't make any sense to me. Every euro you put into this stadium, it's wasted. And I would rather see it. Yeah, exactly. I would rather see a new stadium outside Naples, which is not that uncommon in Europe, then, you know, keep playing in the San Paolo. I don't want the city to pour like 50 millions into the renovation of the stadium, because in my opinion, it's just wasted money. It doesn't make
any sense. And it's postponing spending even more money in
exactly.
the future. And you are
exactly
a multiple graduate of business. So
I'm most of all, I'm a Napoli fan.
Yeah, and but those two things make you uniquely qualified to speak on this. So how can you encapsulate all of this into a Neapolitan expression, Michele Borelli?
So I found a Neapolitan expression. Well, I didn't find it. It's a very common Neapolitan expression. It's very simple, but it's something that everyone says in Napoli, especially my grandma. So this is something that you... Yeah.
Nonna,
my nonna, Gianna. Shout out to Nonna Gianna, who doesn't speak any English, but I'm sure she's a avid listener of this podcast. Ciao, Nonna Gianna. So Nonna Gianna is very religious, and one of her farewell phrases when we leave her house and when we have to say goodbye is the following phrase: Amarone t'accompagni, which literally means the Madonna accompanies you. May the Madonna accompany you.
I know this one. I mean,
this is very,
very,
very
people
common.
Say it all the time.
There you go. What I found fun is that I found the supposedly origins of this story, which apparently it goes back to the 18th century, when there was a lot of criminality in the streets of Naples, and the streets were very dark, and they decided there was no money to put like lights, you know, to put some more police in the streets. So apparently one priest in Napoli decided to take matters into his own hands, and he decided to Father Gregorio Maria Rocco decided to place images of the Madonna inside like votive articles. I don't know how to call them. And he decided to put these Madonna images, figures, all over Napoli. And he said, in this way, the criminals will not be criminals, I guess. They will not commit crimes, because the Madonna will look at them. So in this way, the Madonna will accompany you. You being the average Neapolitan citizen walking the streets of Napoli, you would always have one Madonna looking over you and protecting you from the criminals. Unfortunately, I mean, of course, it didn't work at all.
How did that work out? Yeah.
Well, it didn't work apparently, because, you know, like putting some bread on the table is more important than committing a sin in the eyes of the Madonna. But yes, these are supposedly the origins of the phrase Amarone t'accompagni, which is still something that a lot of people say nowadays in Napoli as a goodbye, as a farewell.
Yeah. So you're saying farewell to the stadium?
I'm saying the way I'm saying it is that Amarone ci accompagna. They made the Madonna accompany us in this path towards a new stadium, a new season, the end of this season. May the Madonna protect us and bring us some good luck and some some good fortune for
Sono
the end
d'accordo.
of the season, for the transfer the upcoming transfer market, for the new manager, for the upcoming season, and most importantly, for the new stadium, because it's key, in my opinion, which is why I've been obsessing about it for many, many years. It is key for this club to have a new stadium, and especially important to have a stadium with the stands super close to the pitch, because if you put Curva A and Curva B immediately onto the pitch, you know, like as close to the pitch as possible, in my opinion, this is a theory that I've been holding for years, in my opinion, our stadium becomes impossible for the
terrifying rivals.
Yeah,
terrifying.
Exactly. Exactly.
Anyone that's been to the stadium would agree with you, McKenna, and myself included.
Right now, we are so far from it, so far.
And imagine making all the noise you make now, but just in that conduct. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Well,
with both sections.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And there's moments now of both Corva singing together, and that's
beautiful, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed because of the when you explained the chant a few weeks
there
ago.
There you go. I was very excited in the city when it happened, even though
I was excited at home on the side. I was texting, I was like, I can understand the thing.
Yeah,
anyway,
it was beautiful.
Okay, well, great. Thank you so much, Mikel. I know you put a lot of work into that as well. Really appreciate it. And I'm sure the listeners also really appreciate your perspective from the city. You can find Michele for more Pearls of Wisdom on Twitter at MicheleGNT. You can find me for No Pearls of Wisdom at Henry Bell Calcio. You can find our show where we're going to be, yes, we do send stuff out that we talk about at Shadow Vesuvio. We're part of the Far From Vesuvius Network at Far From Vesuvius. Do check out the other shows, Rafa and Daniele's show and Marco's. Check out Kirsten's book. And generally, let's just hope for a more beautiful future. Take care,
Parole
folks.
Ci accompagni.
Esatto. E forza Napoli.
Sempre.